Tomorrow, the world is celebrating Gaura Purnima. The Vaishnava world, the Gaura Vaishnava world is celebrating Gaura Purnima. Every day in Krishna consciousness is a happy day because Krishna consciousness is happy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world to make us happy, but especially there are some days, Janmashtami, Gaura Purnima, some days in which we especially deeply feel the happiness of Krishna consciousness, meditating on this most merciful personality, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came to drown the three worlds in nectar. From another perspective, he came to make us cry as he cries. He came to make us cry. That's Ravana, isn't it? Ravana means who makes others cry. Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also makes people cry. There are two types of crying. There's crying in joy and crying in pain. Ravana is a demon who came to make people cry by giving them pain. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to drown the world in tears of bliss. You cry so much and then we drown in the ocean of bliss. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's crying is crying of bliss. But actually, if we see the descriptions in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he was crying in pain. Pain of separation from Krishna. That is spiritual bliss. That is an inconceivable feature of the highest spiritual bliss, that it appears like pain. And in this material world, the happiness is all pain, and in the spiritual world, the pain is all bliss. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna is the, so to speak, original form of the Personality of Godhead. But there are some distinguishing features of Krishna which distinguish him even from the various Narayan forms, and therefore we praise him. Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arsa Bhritya. Even the Narayan forms, even the Vasudev form, serves Krishna in Vrindavan. He is supreme. Lilayatena Bhuvanani Jayatya Jasram. He perpetually rules over the world by his pastimes, by his flute, by his form, by his love. He is the Supreme Lord in this highest aspect. What distinguishes Krishna? Yeah, not his majesty, not his power, not his giving lots of daily bread to those who pray for it, but simply by being so beautiful and so blissful and so merciful. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even more merciful than Krishna because he gives love of Krishna very easily. He doesn't demonstrate majesty very much as Krishna does. He doesn't demonstrate power very much. He appears like to be an ordinary devotee, well, an extraordinary devotee. He appears as a devotee. But the most prominent feature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that he cries. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, speaking of, in Chaitanya Bhagavat purport, speaking of or mentioning Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he comes from Gaya, having been initiated into Krishna mantra by Ishwar Puri and having a life-transforming experience. And now, what is the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that in spite of being with Krishna, he, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, felt that he had not achieved him. So shedding tears became his principal activity. The principal activity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was shedding tears. So our movement is following in the divine lotus footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are Rupa Nuga devotees following Rupa Goswami, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanar, Rupa Nuga Janera Jibon. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna combined. Radha and Krishna cry. I'll tell a pastime about that a little after a few minutes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the life of the followers of Rupa Goswami, following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis. Ours is a crying movement, so we can advertise to the people of the world as we go out preaching, join our movement and we will make you cry. People will think this is a very strange movement. We're already crying so much in this world. Crying, people associate with pain. When we say it will make you cry, that sounds like more of a threat than an offer, because crying in this world is associated with pain, because the nature of this world is pain. And it seems much easier to make people cry in pain, much more common to make people cry in pain, than to cry in love. It's not even much known. Cry in love, cry in joy. Maybe someone cries in joy. Yeah, they win an Olympic gold medal or something and they cry in joy, but that is not a sthayi bhav. That doesn't last very long. To have crying as our principal activity, crying in joy, that is, it's practically not known of in this world. A few weeks ago, I was invited to speak to devotees at the Krishna Life Center in Atlanta, in USA. So I spoke to the male devotees first and just asked them what are they doing, how they're experiencing, how they're feeling Krishna consciousness. Then I came to speak to the women devotees. And the first, I believe her name was Brenda, about 40 years old and very philosophical and very, very sober approach. But she said that, well, I've been looking for God all my life and now I found him here. So they're very pleasing to hear that. And then another lady started talking, but she didn't get very far. She said, I'm so happy. The devotees here, they're so good. They're so good. We're so happy. And then she started crying. And that was it, finished. Because all the women, they couldn't speak. They all, it was infectious crying. Their happiness in having come to Krishna consciousness, because they're all newcomers. That's very good. They're in touch with their real selves. The real self is an emotional self. The real self, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to reveal who we really are, Krishna Nitya Das, the servant of Krishna. But the servants of Krishna, it's not some regimented military kind of service. It's full of feeling and love, and naturally devotees who are in touch with their real self means we're in touch with Krishna, because our real self is in service to Krishna. And as Srila Prabhupada said once at Rath Yatra, he was introducing Rath Yatra, he was speaking to the hippies. No, this was in San Diego, I believe it was. And Srila Prabhupada said, this is a feelings festival. It's a feelings festival. It's not one. There's various festivals are arranged, celebrations are arranged, secular, the festival to celebrate the winning of a war, or Independence Day, Republic Day. We have in India the two festivals or celebrations, public holidays. But Rath Yatra is a feelings festival where Krishna, his emotions, Krishna and Subhadra and Balaram, their emotions, remembering the pastimes of Vrindavan, so much overwhelm them that their bodies become as if deformed. But that deform, we can say it's reform, is another form. So this crying for Krishna, this is very good. It may be a neophyte stage, but it's a good start. It's a very good start. We shouldn't become so advanced in Krishna consciousness that we don't cry for Krishna. Rather, advancement is crying for Krishna. When I was first in Bangladesh, I had a tough time in many ways. One of the things, I couldn't relate much to the grown men crying so much. We, being Western aspiring devotees, the men and the women in the villages, Hindus of Bangladesh, they were very, very emotional because they feel for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his movement, and it meant so much to them because they were being told again and again by the Muslims that Hinduism is dying, the whole world is converting to Islam, you should convert to Islam. And they're feeling very depressed, what to speak of the horrors that many of them had to witness just a few years before during the genocide of the Pakistani army on the people of Bangladesh, especially the Hindus. So they were feeling very depressed. They were economically depressed, and is one thing, but even their life, their culture, their religion is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Radha Krishna. And now they saw representatives of the worldwide Krishna consciousness movement, and they wept. So many of them, they wept. And I, being just a cold-hearted, raised in a culture where you're taught that boys don't cry from about the age of 3 or 4 years old, as soon as you could understand. Don't cry, don't cry, don't cry. Boys don't cry. Boys don't cry, boys don't cry. So you're raised to be tough. Ah, so don't cry. Stiff upper lip. Don't show any emotions. Yeah, that's required for survival in a tough world, I guess. If you're too emotional, then you can't function at all because this world is so tough. So you have to suppress your emotions just to get by. And then the whole culture teaches you that you have to be tough. You have to get above others. You have to compete. You have to show yourself better to others. But when we stop competing with others and trying to show ourselves better than others, and then you can let go of all this show of being tough, and then we can be in touch with ourselves, with our emotions. Of course, people's emotions are so messed up, but our real emotions are emotions of love of Krishna, and chanting Hare Krishna uncovers those emotions, gets us in touch with our real self, and then it's natural to cry. To preach in this world, you have to be tough also. It's not so easy. Even to deal in this movement, you have to be tough also, because it's a tough movement. Swan eats swan, as they say. And yeah, we don't want to get we don't want to get carried away by material emotions, because it is quite possible to mistake material emotions for spiritual emotions. Real spiritual emotions develop when we fully surrender to Krishna. We don't want to get mixed up. People cry, some people cry, they go to movies and there's some love story and then they cry. So they call that a tearjerker, some movie in which you cry and then I love you and you love me and Romeo and Juliet, and then you cry. And well, that's material emotions, because it's that love in the material world which provokes tears is a misplaced love, because the vishay, the subject of that love, the center of all love, is Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains this in his introduction to the Nectar of Devotion, that people are missing the point. The love is the central point, and the central point of love is Krishna. But when we place our love somewhere else, then we love our country, we love our family, we love our girlfriend or whatever, and we're disappointed. We can develop material emotions. There are so many love songs. You hear the song and you feel like crying. But that's not really in touch with ourself. That's in touch with our misplaced emotions. Anyway, our movement is meant for crying. And unless we cry, unless we cried sometimes, we never really joined this movement. One anecdote, when I was new in this movement, 1975, Chaitanya Charitamrita was just being published. So many volumes were being published. And devotees would get the opportunity to read one volume. They have to take the volume away, and then you vanish for a day, and then you read the book. You have one day to read it, because it has to be passed around. The new volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita. We didn't know all these pastimes. And the devotees, you get one day to read one volume. So you just vanish for the day and read it. So one evening, my godbrother, Kishore Prabhu, what a beautiful devotee. I saw him one evening. He came out of the guest room, the life membership area, which is a hideaway area. And he was holding Chaitanya Charitamrita, distinguished by that gold cover. I saw he's crying, and I was surprised. I said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita and you don't cry, you're not a devotee." Some things you remember, it's going back so many years. So this movement is meant to make everyone cry. It's not meant to make us cry in frustration. Unfortunately, even though there is a lot of crying in feelings for Krishna, when deities are installed, the temple is opened after so much hard work, someone comes back to Krishna consciousness after being away, in various kirtans, Srila Prabhupada dancing, 1973, Rath Yatra in London. I joined in 1975, and I used to hear so many times devotees would relate how Srila Prabhupada had come, and he was sick. He'd come from India, and then he thought he'd just... They weren't sure if he was even going to come because he was sick, but he came, and I thought that he was just going to sit on the chariot, but he got down and he was dancing ecstatically all the way, all along the route, all the way from Marble Arch to Trafalgar Square, if you know London at all. So ecstasy, there you can see the video footage of the opening of the Bhaktivedanta Manor, 1973. The devotees are planning a festival, Janmashtami 2023, 50 years of Radha Gokula Ananda. There's footage of that. And you can see Srila Prabhupada dancing after offering the arati, dancing in ecstasy. And the devotees also dancing. There's Revati Nandan Swami is there. He passed away. Mohan is there. Achintya Rupa is there. I wasn't there. I was completely in Maya. Where was I in 1973, 16 years old? Yeah, just in Maya. The time for the mercy to descend on me hadn't come yet. So they're just complete ecstasy. Unless you cried, you never really joined our movement. Yeah, but unfortunately there has been a lot of the other kind of crying also, that devotees join this movement with great hope. Then they go away, they get quote unquote fried with this movement, with the dealings in this movement and the way devotees treat them, and unfortunately we have to admit there's a lot of this has happened. Maybe devotees have false expectations or unrealistically high expectations. But there are a lot of devotees who've come to this movement and go away, rightly or wrongly. In many cases, they do have grounds for feeling very, very frustrated with this movement. They go away, they feel exploited, they feel they were misled, they feel that they were unfairly treated. But this movement is not meant to make us cry in frustration, but to make us cry in prema. Actual prema, actual love for Krishna is a very high platform, but by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of the holy name, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and all the Vaishnavas, even if we're not anywhere near prema, actually we are much nearer by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the holy name, we are much, much closer to prema than those who don't take to Krishna consciousness. So in one sense, our position is very exalted, even if we have a long way to go. But from time to time, the clouds of maya hovering around our heads, they open up and the mercy pours down and we cry in bliss. I'm going to read something about that a little later in this talk. Of course, we can't just sit around waiting for the prema to happen. We have to be organized. The movement has to be organized. Nowadays, ISKCON is much more organized than previously, and there are committees for everything imaginable and all kinds of things which in the early days of this movement we couldn't have imagined. Some would say it's become bureaucratic. It's very properly organized, and we've become more attuned to the ways of the world and more respectable movement and more acceptable by members of normal society, or we're trying to be. But we should never forget that our real concern of life, our number one concern of life, is to cry for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada writes, not exactly in those words, in one letter, famous letter, there are different letters. In one, he says there are symptoms of missing the point. He's talking about the movement and leadership in particular, symptoms of missing the point. And he says the real point is to be mad after Krishna. And another thing I remember, so many things going back more than 40 years. One thing I remember, the Gurudas Swami, who was a real sweetie. He wasn't a nasty Swami like most of the Swamis at that time. At least that was the impression I got. He was a sweetie Swami. So I remember one time he said, in class, I believe it was, he was giving a class, and he said, the success of our movement will be when we have to designate a devotee to give them the service. Like someone has the service, okay, you have to cut sabjis, you have to clean out the trash, you have to polish the brass, and then we have to designate someone to mop up the floor after kirtan from the tears. Very nice. Okay, I'm going to read from The Nectar of Devotion, the summary study of Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, The Complete Science of Bhakti Yoga by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada writes, in the same Narada Pancharatra, there is another expression of submission wherein the devotee says, my dear Lord, O lotus-eyed one, when will that day come when, on the bank of the Yamuna, I shall become just like a madman and continue to chant your holy name while incessant tears flow from my eyes. This is another perfectional stage. Lord Chaitanya also desired that a moment will appear unto me as 12 years of time, and the whole world will appear to me as vacant on account of not seeing you, my dear Lord. One should feelingly pray. It's order from Srila Prabhupada. One should feelingly pray and become eager to render his particular type of service to the Lord. This is the teaching of all great devotees, especially Lord Chaitanya. In other words, one should learn how to cry for the Lord. One should learn this small technique, and he should be very eager and actually cry to become engaged in some particular type of service. This is called lolyam, and such tears are the price for the highest perfection. Tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam. That's Srila Prabhupada is paraphrasing this. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavitamati kriyatam yadi katopi labhyate tatra lolyam api mulyam ekalam janma koti sukritena labhyate. Rupa Goswami writes that the feelings of pure devotion and pure Krishna consciousness, if that is available anywhere, Rupa Goswami says, then one should purchase that. By any means, purchase it. And what is the price? The price is lolyam, intense desire, the only price. This intense desire cannot be had even in millions and millions of lifetimes of performing worldly material activities. So, continuing from this quote from Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes, if one develops this lolyam, or excessive eagerness, excessive, this word is maybe used, how shall we say, somewhat sarcastically. The materialistic people would say, don't be too religious. If one develops this lolyam, or excessive eagerness for meeting and serving the Lord in a particular way, that is the price to enter into the kingdom of God. Otherwise, there is no material calculation for the value of the ticket by which one can enter into the kingdom of God. The only price for such entrance is this lolyam, lala samayi, or desire and great eagerness. Srila Prabhupada quoted here in English from Shikshashtaka of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And actually there are two verses which can be quoted from that Shikshashtaka in this regard. Very well-known verses which are regularly recited. It shouldn't become a ritual to recite. Nayanam galadashru dharaya vadanam gadgada rudhaya gira pulakair nichitang vapukada tavanama kaharne bhavishyati. My dear Lord, when will my eyes be beautified by filling with tears that constantly glide down as I chant your holy name? When will my voice falter and all the hairs on my body stand erect in transcendental happiness as I chant your holy name? Yugayatam nimeshena chakshusha pravrishayatam shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. My dear Lord Govinda, because of separation from you, I consider even a moment a great millennium. Tears flow from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I see the entire world as void. So Srila Prabhupada wrote, we should learn this technique of crying for Krishna. Gaur Govinda Maharaj, he said that he wanted to make a crying school at Bhuvaneshwar, his headquarters. Crying school. Learn to cry for Krishna. We don't want false tears like sahajiyas or empty sentimentalism with no service attitude. Rules and regulations are essential. A philosophical basis is essential. Organization of the Krishna conscious movement is essential. But ultimately we need Jayanandas and Vishnu Janas, devotees who inspire by their natural devotion. We need that more than committees and resolutions. Committees and resolutions, Srila Prabhupada himself set it up. But all the rules and regulations are meant to serve the principle of remembering Krishna. Smartavya satatang Vishnu, vismartavya najatu chit, sarvavidhi nishedasya, etayor eva kinkaraha. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. All the rules and regulations of devotional service, such as rising early, taking only prasad, and then the rules and regulations of the ISKCON organization given by the GBC and all the... They're all meant to serve this principle of always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna. And if we actually remember Krishna favorably, that implies favorably, because there is unfavorable memory of Krishna, then naturally our hearts will melt. That is natural. Even Krishna's heart melts and he cries. Even Radha, well, Radha we can imagine, because she is the fountainhead of all love, and all compassion, all mercy. But Krishna, he's got a tough job being God, and he has to oversee so many things and mete out punishment. We don't expect someone who's ruling a country, we don't expect them to be a very emotional person or even to be very loving. They have to be tough. They have to be tough, right? How can Krishna be so emotional? Well, he is. That's why he's Krishna. And outside Vrindavan, he's Vasudev, and then he's Rama, who loves his citizens. Actually, the leader should love also, but two sides. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashayata dushkritam. Uplifting the devotees and pushing down the rascals and the demons. So that's the job of God. Radharani doesn't have any such thing of punishing anyone. When Krishna comes as Krishna Chaitanya, there's no punishing. The Radha Bhava, the feelings of Radha become stronger. And even Krishna in Vrindavan, due to the influence of Radha, that what is Vrindavan? Radha Padankita Dham Jarnam Vrindavan. Vrindavan is known as the place where it's marked with the footprints of Radharani. So her influence is stronger. She's the queen of Vrindavan. Cowherd boys, they objected, Krishna objected, but ultimately they all happily accepted. Radha is the queen of Vrindavan. Krishna, he's only playing at being the king. So Krishna, in the association of Radha, he also cries. And that's how Prema Sarovara came into being. Sarovara means a lake, and Prema means love. There's Prema Sarovara, just some little distance from Varshana, the place of residence of Rishabhanu Maharaj, Radharani. How did that Prema Sarovara, a lake of love, how did that come into being? At this place, during the manifest pastimes of Radha and Krishna, they were sitting together at this place. Radha was sitting on the lap of Krishna, And as is not uncommon, a bee, honeybee, because the bees are always looking for nectar. And what is more nectar than the face of Radha? So the breath of Radha and Krishna. So the honeybee was coming around Radha's face, and she was just waving her hand like this, as you do when a bee comes around your face. Some people get very frightened, but normally if a bee comes, you just go like this. But it kept on coming. And then Krishna, he asked Madhu Mangal, his great friend, Madhu Mangal. He indicated, you just chase this bee away. The word for bee, honeybee, madhumaki. So then Madhu Mangal, he chased the bee away and he called out to Krishna, Madhu has gone, Madhu has gone. Then Radharani took it to mean that Madhu means Krishna, because Madhu means sweet, and that is the name of Krishna. So she thought that Krishna has gone. And even though she was sitting on the lap of Krishna, the thought that Krishna had gone plunged her into what is called prema vaichitta bhava. The feeling, even when one is directly with one's lover, the feeling of having lost him or her and feeling separation. It's inconceivable. This is only at the very highest level. This is only between Radha and Krishna. And Krishna, in the association of Radha, felt in the same way. Her feeling was so strong that he also felt the same way, and they were both crying torrents of tears in separation from each other. And then calling out each other's name. Radha is calling out Krishna. Krishna is calling out Radha. And there's so much crying, crying, crying. And that made a lake. And then two parrots on the trees. There's Krishna's favorite parrot and Radha's favorite parrot, Shuka and Shari. They started calling out the names of Radha and Krishna, which brought Radha and Krishna back to their normal consciousness, whatever normal can be for them. And there was a lake formed, Prem Sarovara, which is there to this day, formed originally from the tears of Radha and Krishna in their intense feelings of love for each other. And then by bathing in this lake, one will surely achieve intense love for Radha and Krishna. Also within the wonderland that is Vrindavan Dham, there are so many kundas and sarovaras, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would bathe in all of them. Radha Kunda is the most famous. There's another I'll speak about, which was caused by tears of happiness. It's called Vimala Kund. It's in Kamyavan. During the time when Krishna was manifesting his pastimes in this world, there was a very pious king, devotee of Krishna, in the Champak Nagari in Sindhu Desh, which is now in Pakistan. Actually, it's all part of the Mahabharata. It's a very pious place originally. So this king was, his name was Vimala. He had many wives but no children. So when Yajnavalkya, the great rishi, came, he petitioned this rishi, the king petitioned this rishi, can he do something? I can get children. Now, Yajnavalkya, he also had to be instrumental, because what happened? At the time of Lord Rama's appearance, when Ram went to the kingdom Janakpuri, the kingdom of Janak Maharaj, Mithila, Sita married Rama, it's well known, and Urmila, that's the Janak Maharaj's brother's daughter, Urmila married Lakshman. Was it? No, I'm getting mixed up. His brother's. Anyway, but there were so many other women. They saw Ram, young girls. Naturally, they were attracted, as the rishis at Dandakaranya were attracted. Even in male forms, they were attracted. But these are the girls of Mithila. So they also wanted to marry Ram, but they married others because they couldn't marry Ram. But that desire was there. It wasn't an illicit desire, because everyone has a natural relationship with Rama and with Krishna. So by the mercy of Yajnavalkya, they took birth as the daughters of King Vimala. From Ram Leela also, the sages at Dandakaranya, they became the Rishichari gopis. And the Yajna Sitas, this is all in Garga Sanghita. And the Yajna Sitas, the forms of Sita, the deities who were formed for accompanying Lord Rama as he performed 10,000 horse sacrifices, they also came back in Krishna Leela, and Krishna accepted them all. So these 16,000 girls of Mithila, Janakpuri, they all became daughters of King Vimala. And he offered them, when they became... no, wait a minute. These are the girls of Ayodhya. I'm getting mixed up. Don't mind. Anyway, when the time came to select the husbands for his daughters, the Yajnavalkya again said, okay, now you go and see Krishna. He's the right husband for these girls. So he did. He accepted these beautiful princesses and brought them to Kamyavan. Now, you may say, well, what's going on here? What's going on to Kamyavan? That, according to some scholars, devotees, the indifferent yugas, Krishna's pastimes, the center of the pastimes is different. So Kamyavan was the center at this time. So Kamyavan within the broader Vrindavan area, and Krishna expanded himself with each and every one of those princesses and enjoyed Rasa Leela with them. And they were so happy when they were dancing with him that the tears of happiness, as they were dancing with him, they formed a pond, and that is Vimala Kund. So that's very sweet. Krishna's pastimes are very sweet. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give this nectar. One of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers is Krishna Das, Babaji. There was one devotee recounted that every evening, that this was at Bon Maharaj's ashram in Nandagram, And for a long time, Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj used to stay there. And every evening he would lead the evening Arati Kirtan, and every evening tears would be flowing from his eyes as he led the Kirtan. But he was able to cry and sing at the same time. Usually you get choked up, but he was able to do that. And if anyone else had done it, or you might think, well, it's just some imitation, but no one thought any such thing in his case because they knew it was for real. Now, I'm going to read an account given by my dear godbrother, Satyanarayan Prabhu. I'm so fortunate to have such, by Prabhupada's grace, such great souls as godbrothers, even though I don't see him much, but he's bringing the tears of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the Arab-speaking world, the Farsi, Vietnamese. He's printing books in all so many languages. So he recounted, this was 1972, I believe it was, Srila Prabhupada at New Vrindavan, Bhagavad Dharma discourses around the time of Janmashtami. So many devotees had gathered there. Among them were some of the greatest kirtan leaders in ISKCON at the time. Bharadvaj was famous kirtan leader. Vishnujan was there. He was another famous kirtan leader. So I'll read what was going on. The kirtan was going on with Bharadvaj leading the kirtan. And good kirtan leader means that not only musically good, but they invoke feelings for Krishna in the devotees who are participating in the kirtan. And especially this was going on in Srila Prabhupada's presence. So Satyanarayan was describing the kirtan that was going on in Srila Prabhupada's presence at New Vrindavan. And then he said that then the magic began to happen. The kirtan seemed to flow up over the stage from Bharadvaj's lead to Vishnujana's lead. In other words, Bharadvaj was, it just automatically, Vishnujan, who was on the stage, he automatically took it over. It was just like a natural progression. Vishnujan, playing mridanga near Prabhupada, took over the lead, carefully and lovingly developing the Hare Krishna mantra more and more, encouraged by Srila Prabhupada, who had by then, sitting down, Srila Prabhupada had then closed his eyes and was beginning to rock his head from side to side, an intense expression coming over his face. As the chanting increased in intensity, Prabhupada's whole body soon started rocking from side to side, his karatals crashing together with force. Almost as if a signal was given, the entire congregation of devotees was drawn to the stage. There was a crush towards the stage. In other words, just the devotees spontaneously, they rushed towards the stage and it became crushed up as they're chanting. And it just started getting wild. It was such an incredible emotion. He, Prabhupada, was shaking his head back and forth. Everyone was looking intently at Prabhupada as a wild expectation swept over us. You could feel the kirtan's building up. The bliss is building up, but there's an expectation, there's more to come. Satyanarayan Prabhu continues, Srila Prabhupada, clearly overwhelmed with pure and uncontrollable love of Krishna, with eyes tightly closed and crashing, the kartals madly interrupted Vishnujan. You can hear the recording of this. The Vishnujan is singing, the devotees are chanting, and then Prabhupada takes over the kirtan, the leading of the kirtan. I was saying there are great kirtan leaders there, Bharadvaj, Vishnujan, and then the greatest kirtan leader of them all, Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada interrupted at the crescendo of his chanting, Vishnujan's chanting. And you can hear when Prabhupada starts, then all the devotees just call out all together. You can hear the cheering. Prabhupada seemed to have no choice. In other words, it just happened. He had to take the lead away from Vishnujan and began chanting Hare Krishna so strongly and so beautifully. Then he began crying. He tried to chant through his tears. Prabhupada couldn't hold himself back. Everyone went mad, and you can hear that they began screaming and crying because it was such ecstasy. The devotion was so tangible that everyone was crying. In one overwhelming, stunning moment, a spiritual shock wave of realization shook us to the roots. A divine and rare spiritual event was happening right in front of us as we saw Srila Prabhupada overwhelmed. And then that wave of love of Godhead hit us. A brief instant passed when many devotees could only gasp. Then in one blinding moment, 200 devotees were driven absolutely and uncontrollably mad, screaming, crying, and swooning at once, crying and crushing into the stage with total abandon. Hundreds of arms stretched out to Srila Prabhupada, all of us crying and chanting, crying and chanting, crying, crying, until there was nothing but tears and love as the devotees tried to chant, as they cried and whimpered, but couldn't anymore. Prabhupada had displayed uncontrollable, pure, unalloyed love for Krishna right there for all to see. It was awesome to behold and feel the pure devotees' love and the Supreme Lord's oceanic response. We were all of us, swept up, embraced, drowned, and devastated. That was the most amazing kirtan in the universe. It was divine. I cried for an hour. Srila Prabhupada opened the floodgates, and the flood of love of God streamed in and drowned all the devotees. He gave a little, it wasn't planned, but just the ecstasy overflowed and gave us a little experience of that emotion which he was experiencing at every moment. So this movement is meant to cry. We should also cry in compassion for those who don't know Krishna. We heard how Prem Sarovar and Vimala Kund were formed from tears of love. But this material world is a great ocean of tears, of misery. I'm going to read from Srila Prabhupada's purport to Canto 3, Chapter 28, Text 32. The entire universe is full of miseries, and therefore the inhabitants of this material universe are always shedding tears out of intense grief. There is a great ocean of water made from such tears. But for one who surrenders under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the ocean of tears is at once dried up. One need only see the charming smile of the Supreme Lord. In other words, the bereavement of material existence immediately subsides when one sees the charming smile of the Lord. We should remember what a miserable situation we've come from and what a great opportunity we have now to enter the world of crying in bliss. And yes, we need the organization of ISKCON to facilitate the distribution of this love of God, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books, distributing the chanting everywhere, festivals everywhere. Let people have a little, at least a little, let them have some exposure to the bliss that is Krishna consciousness. So crying, this room is meant for crying. But as long as we're on this plane, we have to work and do what we can to bring Krishna and Krishna consciousness to others, the seeing the suffering of others. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to make us cry. Tomorrow is Gaur Purnima. Every day we celebrate the arati of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Evening arati, we join together, and tomorrow especially we will be focusing on the golden avatar, the avatar of bliss, the avatar of love, the avatar of mercy, the avatar of divine tears. All glories to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to his Senapati Bhakta, general for leading the army in preaching the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and all glories to the members of that army who are working so hard all over the world to dry up the ocean of tears and replace that ocean of tears with an ocean of pure love of Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindubhya evacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nithaya chunakang padaya nipatya kritva chakakushatam etadaham ravimi he sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandra charane kurutanu ragaha parivadatu jano yata tata va nanumukaro navayang vicharayamaha hari rasa madira madati matta bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.